see my Savior's hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Thursday afternoon, March the 19th. We're going to go through listener email, our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, that number, 618-223-8382.
Well, Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson has been working this week from home, and I think we're going to have to implement a pre-coronavirus Lutheran Public Radio policy of me taking out the trash on Fridays. Our trash cans overfloweth.
Yeah, she usually goes around and gets all the trash cans at the end of each day, and so that she's not carrying out five bags on a Friday. She's a pretty smart lady.
She
and smart to stay home. I've noticed that she's still keeping all of her work up to date. So
Work ethic is never a problem with Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson. Look, we could spend the next half hour talking about this issue, whether or not churches should continue to have worship services. So I'll just read Greg's email. I attend a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation. This morning, our pastor announced that all church services for next weekend will be canceled due to the virus. Future services will be determined on a week-to-week basis. Our pastor is not in the at-risk category. I was disappointed in this decision. It is my opinion that church services should be held and the congregation members should decide if they want to attend based on impact of the virus. What is the proper biblical response to conducting services during this time? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Greg.
Well, first of all, let me preface my ideas here with something that I heard from Pastor Will Wheaton yesterday in private conversation. We were discussing this very issue. And he said, you know, we are always promised that the word remains and the word establishes the church. We are not promised that we will always get to gather together on a regular basis to hear that word, although we should strive to do so insofar as it is possible. But there are many people who do not, and in the history of the Christian church, have not had weekly services because either they had no pastor to preach to them or because some other circumstances of their life. There's been war, there's been famine, there's been plague, there's been all kinds of things like this that have affected this throughout the life of the Christian church. So that is to say, this is nothing new for the Christian church. If you look at it, the broad historical sweep, the Christian church has always struggled to gather together to hear God's word and receive his sacraments. And sometimes they've been able to, and sometimes, sadly, they have not been able to. So let's keep that kind of big perspective here. There is going to be a lot of disagreement about this because they're very strongly held opinions and ideas on both sides, and I've been thinking a lot about it. First of all, we need to say that if the government, either state or federal government, says, you guys, people, no one can meet together in groups of bigger than X, or no one can meet together publicly, period, they're not doing that to persecute the church. That may make the devil happy, but they're not doing it to persecute the church. It's a good faith effort on their part to protect public health. That's what they're doing. So we do not jump to the persecution conclusion on this one. This is about keeping people safe and healthy. So that is laid off the table immediately. You need to bear in mind that if your pastor announces that next week's service has been canceled due to the coronavirus, that may not be what he wants to do. That may be contrary to what he really wants to do. He may have been told to do it by his elders. It may have been reached a compromise with his elders in doing this, and that this is the best they can do together. There are no perfect solutions here, especially there are no perfect solutions here. If your pastor thinks he's come up with one, you need to tell him to sit down and remember, read Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, that we live in a fallen world without perfect solutions. This is how I've clarified it in my mind. We start with God's word. What does God's word tell us? What, not only what does it promise us, but also what guidance does it give us? We go to the third commandment, the fourth commandment, and the fifth commandment. All three of these commandments are in play. The third commandment, that is to sanctify the holy day. We Lutherans learn that that means we should gladly hear God's word and learn it. It's about Sunday morning. It's about regularly hearing God's word. The fourth commandment, to obey parents and then by extension, all civil authorities. And then the fifth commandment, which is to do no unnecessary harm to our neighbor in his body. Now, it might appear at first that these three commandments are in conflict with one another, but this is God's word we're talking about here. So God's word does not contradict itself. These three commandments always sing in perfect harmony, even when we can't see how they are doing it in our particular situation. The fourth and fifth commandments and the third commandment are not in conflict with one another. We do not have to break one to keep the other. And we do not have to decide over against which commandment are we going to keep. Do we keep the third or the fourth or the fifth? That is not our situation. There is a way that we can strive to keep all three of these commandments with respect to God's word, submission to governing authorities, and doing no harm to our neighbor, and without any kind of conflict in God's word itself. It may make us feel conflicted, but that's a very different thing. And I've been in conversation briefly with my pastor and with our elders, and the suggestion that I made several days ago after kind of thinking about it for a while is, well, I'll tell you what, if we can't meet in groups of more than 10, that's in the state of Illinois, being discouraged to meet in groups of 10, everybody's being discouraged to meet in groups of 10. If we can't do that, then let's take the big Sunday morning and spread it out throughout the week. Let's make pastor available at the church by appointment or by walking in so that anyone who comes in will receive his care and will receive the sacrament. There is a way to do this. And I simply picture these times of anxiety coming in by families and by husband and wife, by individuals, and the pastor is prepared to meet them there, practicing all the protocols of hygiene that we're all learning all about. And he is able to maybe pray the litany with them and then give them the Lord's Supper, a short service appropriate to the setting. And what you're doing there is you're just taking Sunday morning that would be all kind of bunched together and piled on top of each other, and you're spreading it out throughout the week. This requires an enormous amount of work on the pastor's part, and this requires an enormous amount of initiative on the part of the parishioners. But how important is this to us? To simply say, we're just going to cancel Sunday, boom, it's all gone, and not offer the word and the sacrament is in fact belying everything we say about what Sunday morning is. Sunday morning is Christ coming to us in his word and in his sacraments and bestowing upon the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation in person. Jesus shows up in person. This is heaven on earth. This is the most important thing that happens on earth on Sunday morning is the divine service. If we are forced by circumstances to not be able to do it in the best possible way, we don't simply shut it down. We say, is there a creative, quote unquote, out of the box, out of the Sunday morning box way that we can do this temporarily so that Christ is still being proclaimed and his gifts of the sacrament are still being given to people who desire it? So I think you spread Sunday morning out throughout the week. Pastor's going to have to work a lot harder. The people are going to have to take initiative and show up, maybe even call them and make an appointment. But I think that's a workable solution for this. I think that is, in fact, what the congregation decided to do, if I'm understanding the long email that I got from my pastor late last night. So, again, we come back to that principle. God's word does not contradict itself. Christ cannot be silenced. And if we have to find a creative way of doing this temporarily so that people still, the pastor can still carry out his duties, the people can still receive his word and his sacraments, I think it's a very workable solution. Now, I've said temporary here a couple times, and I want to emphasize this in the strongest possible terms, the other recommendation that I gave to our elders and to my pastor is, as soon as the danger is past, we must return to business as usual immediately. All of these stopgap measures that are suboptimal, stop. And we go back to Sunday morning. And we tell our people, again, we now have commandments in play. I have no problem telling people to go to church based upon the third commandment, because that's what God commands you to do. I cannot say, well, God, sacraments, if you're there. God says, hear my word, receive my sacraments. And invite them to come and receive these gifts that are of God's pure grace. That's why he commands you to do it, because he wants you to receive his unmitigated grace in Jesus Christ. So when the crisis is over, we don't, as often can happen, allow these less than perfect and temporary practices to continue indefinitely. And that, I think there needs to be a plan to say, this stops when the danger's over and we don't go back to it. We don't say, hey, I kind of liked that, not going to church on Sunday and not having to see all those pesky other people or be able to sit next to them. All that has to stop.
Or stay home and watch it.
Oh, yeah. Or for those who are live streaming saying, yeah, I kind of got used to just sitting there in my pajamas with my cup of coffee and my sweet roll and listening to Pastor. And I could even turn the volume down when he got a little boring. Or let's be honest, folks, I could even just surf a little on my phone during the boring parts. That is not gladly hearing God's word and learning it. That isn't it. So we may have to do that for a time, minus the phone. We have to do that for a time out of necessity, but it is not what the church is called to do ordinarily.
Well, in less than 24 hours, we sent out the latest issues, et cetera, journal, and Clay writes, got a typo. The sentence reads, the practice of closed communion has two purposes. First, to protect those who wish to commune from doing so to their harm. Thanks for alerting us, Clay.
Well, and I'm kind of baffled because I'm a terrible proofreader, especially what I've written, because I have the ideas in my head. So we have someone who proofreads for us, and then Jeff goes through and proofreads like three more times. So I know why we missed it. It's because the came at the end of a line and the those came at the beginning of the next line. And that's how we missed it. But thank you. If you find a typo or a problem, we're happy to hear from you. Talk back at issuesetc.org. By the way, the journal is out. It's free and it's online. If you haven't subscribed yet, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red subscription button. It will ask for your email address. And if you have clicked the box that says journal, we will send you the absolutely free online Issues Etc. journal that has my article on closed communion. It's, well, it's biblical, it's historical, it's Lutheran, and it's loving. And Dr. Nancy Almodovar has also written about her journey from the really terrifying uncertainty of her Calvinist beliefs to the Lutheran confession. Issuesetc.org. Look for the red subscription button. When we come back from the break, some more of your email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
And close with love the way that you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
In 1939, the British Army received an Enigma machine that helped them crack the secret Nazi codes in World War II. In the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Sam Schultheitz writes about the Screwtape Letters, a book written by C.S. Lewis, a type of enigma machine for deciphering the temptations of Satan. Read the March issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about the Screwtape Letters and how Satan tempts us today. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're plowing on into Hebrews, destroying the one who has the power of death, Jesus better than Moses, as long as it is called today. There remains a Sabbath rest and the throne of grace. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland, is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
Wittenberg Academy is a completely online Lutheran school. Wittenberg Academy is offering reduced price, 8-week courses to support families and schools impacted by the COVID-19 outbreak. These 8-week courses will run Monday, March 23rd through Friday, May 22nd. Wittenberg Academy will allow a rolling registration and entry to accommodate the circumstances in which families find themselves. Learn more at wittenbergacademy.org. wittenbergacademy.org.
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Jim writes, I've tried to find everything I could on the coronavirus. I understand that care should be exercised. However, I'm at a loss to understand what seems to be a serious overreaction. Further, your guest Lyman Stone seems to be an alarmist in the extreme. Yes, you could die and it would be horrible. I served in the U.S. Coast Guard for 29 years and I was a police chaplain for 8 years. I have seen death. It is not something I enjoy dealing with. However, it happens pretty regularly, especially in a country of 350 million souls. His description of a person dying is something that also happens pretty regularly. Dying of pneumonia is horrible. However, it happens every day. Being unnecessarily graphic does not strike me as serving any necessary purpose. I really wish I could get an articulate answer instead of, well, it could. A lot of people might. It's worse than... Thank you. I really appreciate the program, and I'm thankful that you take this on for us. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Jim.
Well, I would encourage you also to go back and listen again to Lyman Stone's conversation that we had on the church and coronavirus. I hope that you understand his circumstances. He has been living in Hong Kong, where coronavirus, he'd been living in China, so just... let that form the framework for your thinking here, albeit not mainland China, but still he's been living under the Chinese government during this thing. And so I don't think he was being alarmist. I think he was actually being descriptive of what he has witnessed there. And bear in mind what happened in Hong Kong due to a lot of distrust of the government. They actually reacted to the outbreak of coronavirus a little more quickly than their government even was encouraging them to do. So I think there was one description there of a death that might have been a bit graphic. And I don't think he was ever intending to be an alarmist. If you know anything about Lyman Stone, he's a guy of the numbers. And so for him, it's all about the data. And he's been very useful, actually, to me in kind of understanding the impact of the virus, because he's actually just looking at the numbers there. But he was giving us his own personal account of encountering coronavirus there in Hong Kong over the last 2 months. And I don't believe he was trying to alarm anybody. I think he was just trying to sober us up. We got to remember that 10 days ago, no one thought this was a big deal. All the countries that are now beset by this, they're beset by it because they didn't think it was a big deal. No one can say, well, I knew it was going to be bad, or I knew it was never going to get that bad. No one can say that. Only God can say that. And if someone's saying, well, I always knew it was going to be terrible, they're lying to you. Or if someone's saying, I knew it wasn't going to be as bad as it has gotten, or something like that. So we're not called to do that. We're called to say, let's be realistic, listen to one another, stay off the internet when it's obvious that someone's trying to either scare you or manipulate you. And we hope that we would never, ever, ever do that here on Issues Etc.
In the interest of being fair and balanced, Paul writes from Howard Lake, Minnesota. I heard Lyman Stone speaking on his show, and I've read articles of his in recent days, and I want to express my gratitude for what he said regarding the church's response to the coronavirus. It's been most refreshing and encouraging for this fellow servant in Christ. Thanks for listening in Minnesota, Paul.
Happy to have been of service to you. You know, none of us are epidemiologists, and no one really truly understands the scope of this thing. The data has been extraordinarily confusing and in some cases contradictory. And so all of us are kind of learning as we go, which means maybe the first fruit of the Spirit we ought to be practicing is patience with one another.
Lauren writes, I'm writing in response to a request made by another listener asking that there be a segment for children. I absolutely love this idea. At night, my 7-year-old son asks if we could listen to a podcast before bed. I usually type in the search Sunday school lesson, and he chooses one from there. However, sometimes the commercials are not quite age appropriate. No fault of yours. I'm just not ready to discuss abortion, LGBTQ, and one that caught his attention was every year 3,000 veterans kill themselves. If there were a segment strictly geared towards kids, we would love that. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for listening, Lauren.
Well, I've said before, this is a fantastic idea. Jeff and I have actually been in conversation about how we might implement something like this, and I do understand that Issues Etc. is adult fare. We do talk about issues that are very difficult to discuss with children on a regular basis. This is adult fare. We talk about abortion. We talk about all kinds of things that we do not want to alarm our children or our grandchildren with until it is necessary to do so. So we're very aware of that. But rest assured, Jeff and I have actually been in conversation about how we might produce something like this that is geared toward children that could, in fact, be that kind of children's answers or a pastor's answers to children's questions, and maybe something that your kid could even listen to before bedtime and not get scared or confused.
In the meantime, your child can call the Issues Etc. comment line and leave a question there. 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, and Pastor Wilkin will respond on a future episode of Issues Etc. This comes from Scott, Todd, and Jeff. As is my practice, I was listening to Issues podcast while showering and shaving this morning. I'm always about 2 months behind, even though I'm ruthless in selecting the shows I will listen to. The problem is there is very little you do that I'm not interested in. I am showering, shaving, house cleaning, car driving, yard working listener. I want to comment on two discussions you and Jeff had on the show. First, what high school did you go to? This was in context. This is a St. Louis phenomenon.
He is 2 months behind, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I think you will find that this is usually asked when one is talking to someone about the same age as they are. It's a great conversation starter. It opens up questions like, do you know? I think you might have been in school with them. Do you remember the Webster Kirkwood Turkey Day game of 1962 when Bill Southworth? I was a big fan of Perante's restaurant. It was sad when it closed. I dated a girl who lived on XXX Street. Did you know her? As much as you would like to make it a soci question, I guess soci is like sociological question, because we talked about really you want to know how much money you had growing up.
I mean, that's why they ask it in St. Louis. They want to know what neighborhood you grew up in.
Well, Scott says there's another possibility. As much as you would like to make it a soci question, in my experience, it's exactly the opposite. It is merely a means for us to connect with our neighbor. So there you go.
Well, I think putting the best construction on it, yes. I never encountered this until I moved into this very area. And if they know you're not a native of St. Louis, they don't bother to ask you where you went to high school, because it's irrelevant. I don't know the culture of St. Louis. I've lived here since 1986. How many years is that?
Too many.
That's a lot of years. And I still don't understand. I don't understand the culture that spawns the high school question or St. Louis style pizza. I like St. Louis style pizza, but I have no idea where it possibly could have come from.
Well, attendees to the whatever Making the Case conference when we had Emo's Pizza did not like St. Louis style pizza.
It grows on you. I'm telling you, it grows on you.
I agree. I love it. But it did not go over well. Although it was very affordable.
Sure it was.
He's got another point, Scott says. stealing signs in baseball. In baseball, this is a beloved and well-honed art form that should be restricted to men on the field or in the dugout, using only one or more of their five senses. Any other means or location in the park should be strictly banned and severely punished. I believe Luhnow, the former Houston Astros general manager, deserved to be fired. I think all the players involved should be suspended without pay for one full season. I think the Astros should be stripped of their World Series win and trophy. Don't let them ruin America's greatest game. It's going to be hard enough to wait several more weeks for the season to start because of the coronavirus. I can live without the NHL, the NBA, MLS, or even the Final Four, but baseball, it's sacred. Almost at the same level as the Masters. That's golf, in case you didn't know that. Did you know that? Okay. Yeah. Thanks for your wonderful work. You two are a great blessing for our nation, let alone your faithful LCMS listeners. As I'm a podcast listener, if you decide to respond on air to my comments, please send me an email so I can select play next and bump it ahead the other programs in queue. Thanks for listening, Scott.
I like his philosophy about stealing signs. Five senses, on the field, in the dugout. All's fair in love and war. Get a guy up in the stands with a camera, a guy in the dugout with a trash can, any of that kind of stuff, then that's when the commissioner gets involved. But other than that, I mean, I think, am I right, Jeff? Stealing signs is a part of the game. It's technically against the rules, but it is part of the game. It's just like trying to fudge a tag. A guy trying to fudge a tag is lying to the umpire. He knows he didn't tag the guy, but as long as he can convince him, that's part of the game.
I just, personally, I agree with, I've come around to Scott's way of thinking, but I do think it's a little pharisaical. That's all I'm saying. If it's okay to steal, and we know what's going on, but because there's a third party involved technologically, you know, I just think it's like the Pharisees. Yeah, we can steal signs as long as it's the five senses of the people in the field, but anything outside of it.
Well, it might be. Why do they call it stealing a base? Because that's not against the rules. I mean, you're not stealing anything. You're actually just taking a base when you hope the pitcher isn't looking. So
that's above my pay grade. Kathleen says, "Dear Lutheran Public Radio, thank you so much for being there. Please do not underestimate your importance at this time. Gracefully and in peace, Kathleen listens in California."
Kathleen, thank you very much. You know, we're just happy to do this. This is one of those times we're all still showing up at the studio except for Lynn. And we are coming into the office. The streets are getting less and less full. The traffic is gone. I get home a lot faster now because so many people are staying home. We still keep doing this. That may not be possible, but we have the means because of the technology that even if Wilkin has to stay home, even if Jeff catches the coronavirus because he's still going and getting on the elliptical at the gym for some reason, we could still do the job. Jeff will never stop doing the job, but we could all three of us be someplace else except for Craig, who would have to be here in total isolation, and we could still do the show.
Tomorrow, issues, et cetera, sound by the week. What do we have? We have four candidates.
Yeah, we got four candidates. What are they? We got Thomas Korchak talking a little bit about Marxism in education, how it's skewed our view of history. We'll be listening also to soundbite of the week, Dr. Robert Gagnon. He will be discussing the Equality Act and the dangers it poses if Biden is elected. The aforementioned Lyman Stone on how we react as a church and as Christians in the face of the coronavirus. And then we have a soundbite from Pastor Will Whedon. He'll be talking there about the comfort, the absolute comfort that we have in the words, "Thy will be done." Soundbite of the week, tomorrow on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.